This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour, your daily dose here on Multicultural 1600 AM. I am Justice Neves, here with me, as always, Dennis Borges.
Hello there, Justice.
How you doing, Dennis?
I am doing fantastically well. And yourself?
Doing great.
Fantastic. It is a nice winter sunny day in the San Joaquin Valley.
Good old sunny winters.
That's right. We do not have rain, and we need some rain badly. Hopefully, they'll change in the next 9 or 10 days. And hello, Esmeralda as well. She's back there. We can't hear her voice, but she is present here today. Welcome, all of you. Thank you for joining us. We have another exciting edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. We are the institute, as President Castro once said, and his desire was to have the institute be the hub for all that is Portuguese in the academic and the valley world, and I think that we're trying to achieve that every day, and the Portuguese American Hour is proud of that, as we talk about all that's Portuguese in the valley and throughout the Portuguese-speaking world. We have a special guest joining us on the line in just a few minutes. His name is Tony Nunes, and he is from the city of Tulare, very, very widely known in the Portuguese-American community, not just in Tulare County, but throughout the valley and throughout the state. And he's been involved in many different aspects of the community. We're going to talk to him about all of those different things, including Carnaval, which is happening this weekend, the Mardi Gras, as it's known to the American world. The Carnaval is a time to celebrate. The uniqueness of Carnaval from the island of Terceira is what we will talk about with Tony Nunes, our first and our guest for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We'll also have some of our other traditional segments as well, and we will have our musical presentation. Again, we are going to have a musical group from the islands of the Azores. Their album is called Do Nosso Canto. Their group name is called Quatro Oitavas. They take some traditional Azorean music and give it a little bit different flavor to it. This is music that you can check out at the Madden Library, the Portuguese collection at California State University of Fresno, thanks to a gift from the president of the government of the Azores, Vasco Cordeiro. This collection actually will be inaugurated this Wednesday, and we'll talk about that shortly. But now let's listen to the music. It's called Maneshine. This traditional song is from the island of Flores, and the group is called Quatro Oitavas.
Maneshine, vai de bandolê, vai de bandolê, oh Maneshine, vai de bandolê, vai de bandolê, oh Maneshine, sentai-me num pau de pedra, oh Maneshine, montai numa égua, macho, oh Maneshine, vai de bandolê, vai de bandolê, oh Maneshine, vai de bandolê, vai de bandolê, oh Maneshine.
Manashine from the beautiful island of Flores, one of the nine islands of the archipelago of the Azores. The group is called Quatro Oitavas, and this is a part of the musical library, the Portuguese musical library at Fresno State, California State University, Fresno, the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. And we are going to go directly to our first guest and our guest for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour on KGST, Multicultural Radio for the Valley. Remember, you can listen to us not just on your regular AM radio, but also you can listen to us on any radio app or online anywhere, www.multicultural1600am.com. We are a production of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. And our guest, directly from the beautiful city of Tulare, is Tony Nunes. I believe Tony is on the line with us.
Yes,
good afternoon. How are you, young man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Tony Nunes is a kind of an icon in the Portuguese-American community. He's been involved in everything there is to be involved in, I believe, from soccer to music, to Carnaval, to the Portuguese Philharmonic Band, to the Portuguese Soccer Hall, as I mentioned, to Laranjeiras Athletic Club, to a few things that I'm probably forgetting. He's also has his own DJ company that also is present at different Portuguese events. So if you need a DJ, remember Tony Nunes. He is has Portuguese music. That is his specialty at different events throughout the Valley and throughout the state. And he's our guest, as I mentioned, for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. So again, welcome, Tony. And for those people who are listening to the show, we have folks who are obviously of Portuguese background, but lots who are not as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you were already born here in the United States, but of a family that has roots in Terceira and Brazil, right?
Correct. I am born here in Tulare, California, the youngest of three children, two older sisters, Rosemary and Marie, who you know very well. Also my parents, yes, my dad is originally from Biscote in Terceira, and my mom was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and immigrated to Terceira, to the Freguesia of Piscote as well, when she was 5 years old.
So were her parents originally, I would assume, from Terceira and then went
correct,
to Brazil
correct,
okay, as
correct.
Immigrants and returned back to the Azores.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. And then, of course, your parents immigrated here with your two sisters, and you were born here in the States. You were, I think, the only one born in the States, or was it the other girls as well?
Actually, my older sister, Marie, was born in Terceira in Piscote. She got here to the States roughly a few months before she turned two, and then that would have been 1967-ish, mm-hmm. Actually 62-ish, and Rosemary was born in 1965, and then I came along in 1971. So my older sister is the one that came from the island with my parents, and then the two of us were born here.
Born here. And I know you've been involved, of course, as I mentioned, in many things, and we'll talk a little bit of a segment, so I hope you have some time to spend with us, because we'd like to go through your different involvements in the Portuguese-American community. But as a young man, of course, being as an infant, being grown up in Tulare, a heavy Portuguese-American community, your father and mom, of course, both spoke Portuguese very well. Was Portuguese spoken at home most of the time?
All the time.
All the time. Okay.
So all the time.
It was your first language, I would say.
It was my first language until I, you know, got old enough to start watching cartoons and whatnot and learn a little bit of English there. And obviously getting to school, learning English then. But at home with mom and dad, we spoke Portuguese only.
And so growing up, how did you get involved in the Portuguese-American community? I mean, there's many people as yourself and others who born here or came from the Azores at a very tender age, whether, you know, like your sister at two and some at five or ten. But some of them, you know, of course, they'll still speak Portuguese with their parents, but they haven't been involved. How did this come upon you?
Well, my parents and my sisters, the whole family, we were very, very, very Portuguese. As far as getting involved in the communities, I guess that was just kind of myself. I guess I just have that little bit of characteristic in nature about myself to just get involved and do things. My sisters both speak Portuguese fluently, and, you know, we're children of the same parents. But I guess I just have that outgoingness that they lack. And that's where I got involved in things, and I think it helped me grow as a person my cultural roots definitely were able to spread a little wider by getting involved in the community, for sure.
And what was your first involvement, do you remember?
My first involvement, I would say, would be altar boy in the Portuguese Mass.
Okay.
Followed by Carnaval at probably the ripe age of 12, 13. Then the Portuguese band, when I was able to pick up an instrument and start playing. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of hung on to those things and added a few more to the list as I got older.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Carnaval. So you said you were around 12 when you first participated.
Yes.
Do you recall what group was that and how that came about?
Well, the beginning of it all, and I just talked about this the other day with a good friend of mine, Mario Capote, and how I got started in Carnaval. So as a kid, as a youngster, my dad milked cows at night. He had a late shift and was not able to go to many Portuguese functions at all because he was milking cows during the time most of these functions were going on. And Carnaval was something he truly loved, and my mother as well. And as a kid, I had one job to do. When a dance would come through town, I was to go to that dance with a cassette recorder, sit in the front row, and record the audio of that dance so that I can get home and play that for my dad to listen to. And I've still got some of those cassettes, by the way.
We need to archive those, Tony.
I should and I will at some point. I've started working on VHS tapes now, and I've got a lot of those done, and the next step will be the audio cassettes as well. So I started getting involved by watching them and going to them, and I started taking a liking to them. And then one particular year, I believe it was 1983, for Carnaval, Frank Rodriguez, who did many dances here in Tulare, he had performed during Carnaval, during the traditional time of Carnaval, January, February, leading up to Lent. And then they decided to come back around Easter and recreate what they had done for Carnaval because it was so well-liked and it was a big want for it in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to go watch, and I was watching. I was there early, waiting with my cassette recorder in hand, and a few of my friends were involved in it. And they came up to me and said, "Hey, we're missing one of the guys. Didn't show up. He decided not to show up today, so we're going to be short one of the dançarines," which was one of the dancers. I was like, "Oh, man, I wonder if I could do that." So we ran off to the bathroom, and these guys are teaching me how to dance real quick. And we came up to Frank and said, "Frank, we got this guy. He's going to do it for us. You know, he'll take that kid's spot today, and he'll help the dance continue." So Frank was, "Do you even know how to dance?" And I said, "Yeah, I know how to dance." So I showed him, and he said, "You know what? You don't have the clothes, but I promise you this. Next year when I make a dance, you'll be the first person I call."
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started.
Mm-hmm. And so so the next year you came in and you were part of a danza. Was your first danza, and we've explained this a little bit to our listeners, so even those who aren't of Portuguese background, we've explained what a danza de espada, the sword is, and the pandeiro, and the bailinho. What was your first danza?
The first was a danza de espada. Frank mainly did, I do believe he pulled one danza de pandeiro at one time. But in the era that I'm talking of was a danza de espada, and that was my first experience.
Okay, and so for those folks who weren't around, didn't listen to us when we explained this, these are usually traditional dances, traditional presentations, acts that are more somber. They're a little bit more, would you say, a little bit more, they're not comical, so they're usually are either of something in a true life setting, fictionalized, obviously, or historical, correct?
Or historical, drama, right. True life story, yes.
Yeah.
Of that nature.
And what was your first, what was it like being part of that first group?
Well, I truly enjoyed it. I was a little guy in the back, and I thought, I really like this. And it started making a few friends, and then the next year came around, and we started adding to the list, and they started doing the bailinhos, mm-hmm. as you spoke of, as well. And I just took a liking to it, and my part increased. The first year, I was just a dancer. I think I may have had a line or two. By the second year, I started acting a little bit. And then as we got into doing the danza de espada and the bailinhos, I got more and more involved and got to the point that I actually started organizing the dances myself.
Okay, so let's start about talk about your group, Grupo Carnaval do Soriano from Tulare. When did it start, and how did that idea come about?
Our first recollection of this being a group was 1994. A group of friends, John Villavone, Anselm Goulart, and I believe it was Joe Lopes. They were cruising through town, as we used to do back in the day, and went down Cahuilla Drive and listening to 620 KIGS, heard a song by Chico Avila, and man, this would be a great song for a danza. And that's basically where it started. There was no danza in Tulare, I believe, that year, and that group of friends who had all been involved in danzas at one time decided, you know, based off of that song and that spur of the moment thought, this being December of 1993, started gathering members and music and script so we could put together a danza, and we formed that danza and performed for Carnaval of 1994.
You remember the theme?
I do.
Okay.
Tia Anika.
And what was it about, basically?
As it was
basically
a little bit of a synopsis. Of an elderly woman who decided at an elderly age that she wanted to get married.
Okay. That in itself is funny.
Yes.
in real life.
Yes.
Okay, so the group began with the first presentation, the group that you know is now known as the Grupo de Carnaval Asturiano of Tulare, began in 1994, so that's basically 26 continuous years. Every year there's been a presentation?
There has been a few years of lapse.
Okay.
Of memory, 2010 was the year I had an accident, was not able to organize anything, so we took that year off. I believe 2013 as well, I don't remember what reason. I believe it was, oh, I do know what reason. 2014 was the year that the Portuguese band went to Terceira for São Joaninhos, and I was president of the band at that time, and I couldn't organize two events of that magnitude all at one time, so I basically could not do it, and the guys agreed we would all stay home and focus on the band because most of us were members of the band as well. And it may have been one more year somewhere in between there that we didn't do anything.
But the group itself exists for 26 years within one or two, a couple years or 3 years, you know, without.
Yeah. And we've had years when we've had more than one act. We've had two or three, being the kids act and the adults, or the kids, women, and men, being three acts for that year. So we've got a total of 29 acts in 26 years.
Okay, and prior to this, prior to your group and then the other group that now exists, and actually now we have three groups in Tulare, but prior to this, most of the groups, like you mentioned with Frank Rodriguez, with some of the other groups, you know,
Frank Mendes,
the Martins brothers were involved, you know, a few others. Most of these groups lasted, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 years, sometimes 7 or 8. What do you attribute to keeping this group in cohesive for over 25 years?
Probably me being stubborn has something to do with it.
That's a good point.
When I start something, I like to see it through, and I don't know what the end result of this is going to be ever, or whether there will be, hopefully it'll be somebody taking over in the next few years, would be nice. Just trying to keep things going, trying to keep our tradition going. And we've got a nucleus of a good group of guys that have been together for a lot of years, and we just don't want to see it end. And every year, when it's over, we're ready to start over again. So it's just been a lot of fun. It's a lot of memories. Some of the things we come up with sometimes, they're all inclusive in Carnaval, and we're just gathering around and talking to each other. We have so many memories amongst ourselves just from Carnaval, from the time we've spent together performing this tradition.
Mm-hmm. So for those of us listening to us, if you just turned on, this is the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural Radio 1600 AM. We are speaking with Tony Nunes, a community activist, cultural activist involved in various things in the Portuguese American community in the South Valley, in the Tulare County area, and throughout the valley itself. And we're going to continue talking, Tony. We need to take just a quick break, if you don't mind sticking around for just a couple minutes.
No problem.
We'll continue speaking to you. We'll talk a little bit more about Carnaval, and we'll also talk talk about some of the other events. I'd like to talk about the Portuguese Philharmonic Band and, of course, that historic trip to the Azores a few years ago. I can't believe it. It's 2014. It's been almost 6 years. That's amazing how time flies. But we'll continue talking with Tony Nunes, who is from the city of Tulare, who is our guest here in the Portuguese American Hour on KGST AM 1600, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. So we'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
O mar no fundo,
Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves, with me as always, Danish Borges. We just finished up our first segment in which we're on the line with Tony Nunes.
That's right.
Now we're going to continue.
And we're going to continue. Thank you, Tony, for holding on, and thank you for being part of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We were talking about his involvement in Carnaval, and so Tony, the group obviously has a dança for this year. Tell us a little bit about it, if you don't mind.
Once again, this year we celebrating our 26th year doing a dance of a bailing this year. I apologize, I did not mean to say dance of pandeid. That was last year. This year we opted to do a bailing due to my son Derek, who's been our mestre, or leader, mm-hmm. for the last 4 years, having a very busy schedule down at Cal Poly. So he said he wanted to take a reduced role, so we decided to do it by knee. A little different than what we've been doing the last 4 or 5 years, but not something we're not accustomed to. Basically the same thing, it's comedy. We actually performed this last weekend in Artesian Chino. We've been rehearsing since probably the end of December, mm-hmm. on the Assunt being the script, the part that is read,
right.
And then we got together with the music and everything probably mid-January, and been working very hard for the last month and a half to get this thing ready to go. A week early this year, we performed in Artesian Chino a week ahead of Carnaval, just to kind of alleviate some of the bottlenecking once we get down south, with this year having 11 of these groups, mm-hmm. In California, all trying to perform in Artesian Chino in one day.
Right, right. And let me ask you a question. What's the theme for this year? Is there a particular theme for the script?
Yes, it is, in Portuguese, uma família desvairada, basically a wild family.
Okay. All right, that sounds promising as well.
It has been a success so far.
Fantastic. And so I'm sure it went well in Artesian. And you perform, of course, this weekend. Tell us a little bit about your schedule for this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, so it's
Monday,
a bit of a
Tuesday,
marathon.
Right?
Starting on Friday, we'll be performing at home at Tolerian Grants Athletic Club. It's where we've rehearsed for the last probably 10, 12 years. And we always try to get an opportunity, if we get an opportunity during the scheduling, to open in Tulare at the place we've rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're performing there at 7 o'clock on Friday, and then we'll be making the trek over to St. John's Hall in Hanford, performing there roughly in 9 o'clock-ish. I think we're the third act that night in Hanford, and then we'll be coming back to Tulare and performing at TDES. And closing the night there roughly midnight.
Okay. And then Saturday, you're traveling.
Yeah, Saturday, the trek gets a little longer. We'll be starting in, we'll be leaving Tulare roughly 1:30 in the afternoon, performing in San Jose at the Portuguese Band of San Jose Hall at 7 p.m., then making our way across the street to Nova Aliança Band in San Jose, and then coming to Turlock after that, so about a two-hour drive, getting to Turlock, performing there, and then making our way up just a little bit north to Modesto, and then coming home. So it'll be all of a good 15 to 16 hour day.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then are you doing anything in Tipton this year?
On Tipton on Sunday will be the second act of the afternoon, roughly. I believe the first act goes on at noon, and we'll be on about 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then we'll be done for the day on Sunday, and then we close out our Carnival season on Tuesday night at mm-hmm. TDS.
Okay, so take a little bit of a break on Monday, and then Tuesday, closing it out at TDS.
Exactly.
Okay, and so let's talk a little bit about the Carnaval itself. I was, as you know, I had the opportunity to attend a conference that Congress called Congresso do Carnaval from the Terceira Island that we've talked about here on Portuguese American Hour with our listeners. And of course there's lots of debates going on about some of the things going on in Terceira. That's of course the birthplace of this tradition.
Yeah.
As I mentioned to our folks that are listening to us, it's unique. There's no other island in the Azores. I mean, there's some other islands that are trying to do something similar, but it's a very uniqueness to the island of Terceira. Now it's growing a little bit more, but you know, 50 years ago it was just in Terceira. And so the kind of the motherland for Carnaval. There's all kinds of different issues going on, from, of course, their different organizational structure, which is none, basically. But, of course, the island is much smaller and things are the way they are. However, one of the debates there is the rima, the verse, the rhyme. Carnaval is traditionally has its roots in Portuguese theater of Gil Vicente, one of our first dramatists. And so the rima, the rhyme, and the verse, as I've explained here to people, so it's not just the singing part that's verse, also the act in itself is all done in verse. And that can be obviously a challenge for the actors. However, there's been a movement, as you know, as well as I do, in Terceira. I wasn't as familiar as probably you are, but there's been a movement, especially in the last 2 years, I was told, by some Carnaval experts. Senhor Elio Costa, I don't know, he's the one that did your Assunto this year?
Yes, okay. And he has done 27 of the 28 that we've ever performed.
Yeah, he's of course an icon there in Terceira, and João Mendonça, known as João da Algualva, who's also done over 400 of them himself for Terceira and for other communities. And so there were lots of people, Alam Oliveira, who's written lots of different songs for Carnaval. Lots of people that were kind of concerned about the verse, about some of these younger groups who prefer not to do it in verse. What's your take on it?
My take is the rhyme is part of the roots of Carnaval. A lot of things have changed in Carnaval. As you said, it's evolved, but to me, taking away the rhyme is taking away the root of Carnaval. To me, it should not be done. Others have adapted and tried to go a different style, but myself, I'm very stuck on the rhyme because it is essential to what Carnaval is all about.
Okay. So you don't see it, some of the folks in Terceira see it some of the younger folks, okay, some of the younger guys in their 25s and 30s see this as a way of an evolution. Some of the other people see it as a way to kind of knock away a tradition that's been, as you said, the cornerstone and kind of in the what keeps Carnaval different than any other act that can be theater any time of the year. So you see the rhyme as an essential figure as well.
It's part of the genuineness of Carnaval.
Okay. Do you think it'll ever change here like it's changed there? Or have you seen a change here? Let me ask that first.
There's been a few groups that have dabbled in it, mm-hmm. Probably in the last year or two, like you said, mm-hmm. Here as well, and throwing in some freestyle comedy, I guess you could say, or mm-hmm. Jokes
right.
that aren't necessarily being rhymed. And it may be funny, but it's taking away from the genuineness of Carnaval, which to me that should not be done.
Right. How do you see, my last question before we turn, we have about another 7 minutes or so of our conversation, and so before we turn to another topic of the Portuguese-American community, how do you see Carnaval, we never know, but how do you see Carnaval in California, of course, 15, 20 years from now? What do you see, how do you see this going? I know there's a few young people involved, and that's great, but how do you see it, such as your son, but it's a limited amount, unfortunately.
It is a limited amount, exactly. We keep seeing pretty much the same faces every year on these stages. And this year, we saw a huge decrease in the number of groups in California. Mm-hmm. Last year, I believe we had 18. Mm-hmm. This year,
and we've had years of 22 and 24.
Yes, yeah. We have. And yeah. 18 last year was a rebound year from the previous year. I think it was 14 mm-hmm. the year before. So it rose to 18, and we started thinking, okay, well, maybe, our numbers are going up. Mm-hmm. But then again, this year, when we had our first meeting to try to put a schedule together, I believe leaving that meeting, we had to call in from one more group, and we were up to 15, and then slowly one group wasn't able to perform. Another group had a death, and they were supposed to have three acts, and they were only able to downsize to just have one. And good that they were able to just have one, but, of course, the numbers overall decreased. And I don't know that we're going to have a big influx of people coming into Carnaval in the next few years. I don't know that that's going to happen. I hope it does. I would love to see this tradition carry on for many, many more years. But two aspects of that being that everybody's just so darn busy.
Right.
Everybody's got things going on to make the practices. It's a grueling 3 months, 2 to 3 months of practices to get one of these acts on a stage mm-hmm. and be able to perform. And it's a time commitment. It's a huge commitment to get this stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, everybody's got sports or something right. else going on or meetings or work. And, you know, kids nowadays they're all going to college straight out of high school, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the community has suffered with some of the traditions due to that. Great that they're getting educated, but they go away and they start doing other things. And unfortunately, they don't come back to the tradition. Some do. We here in Tulare have been fortunate, very fortunate, that the 30-somethings, so the 20-year-olds and 30-something-year-olds are coming back to the tradition and maintaining. And again, in Tulare this year, we've got 4 acts, but through California, we're seeing a smaller number of that age.
So has the decrease been mainly in the Bay Area and Northern California?
Yes,
it seems like
yes.
Tulare, we still have the same 4 that we've always had. You know,
yes.
Sometimes we have 3, sometimes, you know, 4,
right.
sometimes 2, you know, but we've always had, you know, a minimum of 2 and a maximum of 4, it seems like.
Right.
But I notice there's been a decrease in, of course, with the death of John Martins, you know, that makes a huge negative impact, you know, in that area down there. But it seems like Artesia, at one time, I recall, and I'm sure you do as well, being performing for 26 years, that at one time Artesia had 4 or 5.
Last year they had 4. Last year it was 4, and a lot of that was due to people wanting to do something in Johnny's memory.
Right.
And then this year they were one of the groups that was initially going to have 3 acts, and it dwindled down to 1 due
right.
to the unfortunate timing of somebody, of a member's family, his death. And the San Jose, the Bay Area, just like you said, yes, so many youth there that are now older and aren't carrying on the tradition to their children, and therefore there's less groups there. I believe there's 1 particularly out of San Jose, and another is in Morgan Hill, and that's about it from that area. I would
so
say
the
Tulare,
Valley still seems to be a little bit strong.
The Tulare yeah. and the Valley area, yes, is strong. Mm-hmm. There has been some crossing over of groups and joining together. There's a group that is called Dusin Pindinch,
mm-hmm.
That this year they're not doing anything, but they were one of those groups. They had members from different places that were getting together. Kind of all same fronteras. They also have members in Hanford, in Tulare, and San Jose, so they've picked a few from all these different regions and created one group.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tulare, Hillmar, area, I believe there's 5. Well, let me take that back. 4 in Tulare, Hillmar, and Chowchilla. So there's 6 in that area.
So the valley still kind of leads.
Central Valley
a bit. Yeah.
It seems
yeah.
to be the strongest right now.
Well, that's great. And the few moments that we have left, a couple of things. So you've been involved, as you mentioned, in the Portuguese band, that huge undertaking of 2014. The band went to the Azores, to the São Joaninos, the big festival of São João. Many of our listeners may recall that we had the mayor of Angra here a couple of months ago talk about that. How was that experience? And do you see it playing again? I believe there should go back in a couple of years, right?
There's talks of that. It hasn't been an official announcement made yet, but I believe there is talks of the band going back again. For myself, as president that year in 2014, it was a milestone for the band. For myself, it was a dream come true. I never thought that would ever happen. And unfortunately, we only had 6 or 8 months to put that whole thing together. I believe we got notification in November, and we were there, obviously, in June. So what is that? Yeah, roughly 7 months. We were able to put that whole trip together, and it was a huge undertaking, but it was memorable and probably one of the highlights of the band's history for sure. And myself as a musician, it was definitely a high point.
And a quick question. Your memories of Diaspora, the group that you were
yes.
also part of, that was a very interesting group that didn't last as long as we'd have loved it to last, but it was probably one of the best that's ever happened in California.
We had a good time doing that, and just last week we had a text message between a few of the members just reliving some of those memories, and we had a blast doing that. Unfortunately, our lead singer, Benjamin, returned to the islands, and we just felt we couldn't go on without
sure.
him. He was the nucleus of the Ashford. That was his brainstorm, and made it all work, and we, you know, we've all been friends, we've all talked about those good times, going to Berkeley and performing there, and many of the functions here in Tulare with the Sister City, and it was just a great experience, something that we, as musicians and as friends, we talk about all the time. The memories were great.
Well, Tony, thank you so much. I need to have you promise that you need to come back in the next few weeks, because we need to talk about a major event coming up in the next few months as well, which is the Holy Ghost Festa do Espírito Santo in Tulare. You are president this year, and I want to give you all the publicity I can. So can I have your word that maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks after Carnaval and after everything winds down, that maybe mid-March we can talk about the Festa?
Absolutely. I will make note of that, and I appreciate the invitation for today, and I also appreciate the invitation and the publicity for our upcoming Festa. That's much, much appreciated.
Sure. We'll be talking about it in mid-March, and hopefully we can actually touch again. And obviously, when you have the program, send it to me, and we'll promote it as much as we can on a daily basis. So again, thank you, Tony, for your commitment to the Portuguese-American community, to the culture, to the language, to the music, and best of luck to you and to your family, and of course, my sincere congratulatory notes for all that you have done, and many thanks on behalf of the Portuguese community for your work and your dedication, your wife and your two children as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That was Tony Nunes, who is the cultural icon, as I call him, involved in many, many different things in the Portuguese-American community. We talked mainly about Carnaval, the Mardi Gras that's happening this weekend, and his group, who's been in effect for 26 years. A very interesting conversation. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed it. We'll be talking with Tony more, especially about the upcoming Festa, since him and Gael are the presence of the Festa for this year, the Tulare Festa. So, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with our last segment of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Isto é que são os trabalhos. Saias não dão. Bravo, meu bem.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. If you missed our first two segments, we're talking on the phone with
Tony Nunes. That's right, yes. Who is from the city of Tulare. We talked about Carnaval, essentially, a little bit about the Portuguese band that he presided over for a couple of years. Actually, I think more than that. And who he is the president of this year's big celebration, the Festa of Tulare, as it's just popularly known, Tulare's Festa, the Festa do Espírito Santo, the Holy Ghost Festa, which will be in June. And as Tony mentioned, we will have him back on the show probably sometime around mid-March. They'll have the program put together, so we'll be able to talk about that extensively in one, maybe, of two or three different interviews between March and June. But now we're going to our last segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about some upcoming events. This Wednesday is a big day for the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. So at 4 o'clock, we have the launching of the Portuguese book section, the Azorian Collection. It was given to us by the president of the government of the Azores, Vasco Cordeiro, when he was here precisely 1 year ago with his lecture about the Azores, as he inaugurated the Institute. The Institute was inaugurated on the 12th, so we're about a week off, on the 12th of February, and it was actually a Wednesday night, 12th of February, here in Fresno, with a inaugural lecture about the Azores, given by the president of the government of the Azores, Vasco Cordeiro. At that particular time, before his lecture, we had a launching ceremony of the Institute with the presence of the Fresno State President, Dr. Joseph Castro, and First Lady Mary Castro. And at that time, the president of the government of the Azores, Vasco Cordeiro, gave a donation to Fresno State Library through President Castro for PBBI for a book collection of the Azores of 500. So it's basically books and DVDs and some of the music that we've been playing and will feature here on the Portuguese American Hour. Actually, we're going to feature one more in just a couple of minutes. And so the... this book stand section, and hopefully it'll be just the beginning of a bigger section, is located right outside the Philip Levine Reading Room, second floor of the Henry Madden Library. It'll be inaugurated with a ceremony with the presence of our provost, Dr. Saul Jimenez Sandoval. Dr. Saul Jimenez Sandoval is a good friend, an excellent dean, an excellent provost, and really has done a lot for education in the Valley. He will be presiding over this event. It'll be a 4 o'clock. Everyone's invited to attend. Hopefully we'll have a good group of people there as we kind of commemorate this event and launch this Portuguese book section at the Henry Madden Library of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. Then at 5 o'clock in North Gym 118, which is a huge place, takes a lot of people, takes about 350 people, so it's a huge place for the university, for us, for the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. We are going to have a reception. We're going to have about 6 or 7 different kinds of appetizers. We're going to have, of course, coffee and other beverages and wine, so free of charge. So come on by, have an appetizer, drink a glass of wine, and enjoy the good company. We hope to have a few people there, quite a few actually. We are inviting everyone in the community. So if you are in the Fresno area, in north all the way up to Modesto, and all the way south to Delano and Bakersfield, to the west to Los Banos, do come on down to Fresno. Park next, as close as you can, to the library. The North Gym is actually right next to the library. And do attend the event. 5 to about 5:50, we will have the reception. At about 5:50 to 5:55, we'll start clearing everything so we can have the lecture. And the lecture will be by Paulo Teves, who will be giving the first anniversary lecture. He is the Director of Immigration, Director of Azorean Communities for the Government of the Azores in Portugal, and the 9 autonomous regions of the Azores. The autonomous region belongs to Portugal, but it is they have their own autonomy. It's kind of like a state in the Portuguese Republic. And director of Azorean Communities, Paulo Teves, will talk about migration from the Azores to the Americas. Fascinating talk, lots of different data, lots of different information. Hope that you can attend. Hope you can pass the information to your family and friends. It's free of charge. It's at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Come and commemorate what we're trying to do at Fresno State. It is also a way to kind of tell us if you are interested in what we're doing. So the presence of the Portuguese American community, the presence of those who are not of Portuguese background but who like to know information about different parts of the world, is very, very important to us. So come on down to North Gym 118. It starts at 6 o'clock. The lecture itself is about 35 minutes or so. And then there will be Obviously, some time for some questions, about maybe five or six questions. We try to end everything around seven. We have also the Consul General of Portugal in San Francisco, who has confirmed her presence, who will be there as well as some other dignitaries from the area, from congressmen to state representatives and local dignitaries. So hopefully the community itself can be present. We'd love to have our students, obviously, those who are studying Portuguese, some of our faculty members, of course, some of the staff, but indeed the overall Portuguese American community from different parts. It's a fascinating lecture. Those of you who have roots in the Azores, you'll enjoy it tremendously. So hopefully you can attend this Wednesday at 6 p.m. North Gym 118. We'll talk a little bit more about the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and a couple of other events, and remind this one more time, but I think we should listen to a little bit of music. We've had lots of conversation, which is great, with our special guest, Tony Nunes, and of course talking a little bit about some ongoing events here in the community and the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute anniversary lecture this Wednesday at 6. But let's go back to the Azores for some music with Quatro Oitavas. Music, as I mentioned, that is available at the Henry Madden Library as part of that collection. They'll be inaugurated this Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and their song is called Pezinho de Vila, probably one of the best known Azorean songs throughout many generations.
Seu descanso.
Põe aqui o seu pezinho.
Devagar, devagarinho, você vai à ribeira grande.
Eu tenho uma carta escrita
para ti, cara bonita. Não tenho por quem a mande.
Toda moça que é bonita, se ela chora, se ela grita, nunca haverá de nascer.
É como a maçã madura na quinta do padre cura. A querem comer.
Põe aqui o seu pezinho.
Devagar, devagarinho, você vai à ribeira grande.
Eu tenho uma carta escrita
para ti, cara bonita. Não tenho por quem a mande.
Eu fui até Vila Franca, escaixada numa tranca, à morte de uma galinha.
O que ela tinha no papo? Sete cães e um macaco e um soldado da marinha.
Põe aqui o seu pezinho.
Devagar, devagarinho, você vai à ribeira grande.
Eu tenho uma carta escrita
para ti, cara bonita. Não tenho por quem a mande.
Eu tenho uma carta escrita
para ti, cara bonita. Não tenho por quem a mande.
And that was Pezinho de Vila from the beautiful island of São Miguel, a musical interpretation by our musical invitees for this segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a group called Quatro Oitavas from the islands of the Azores. As you heard, they take some very traditional Azorean music and give a little bit of different flavor to it. In our last segment, again, we want to thank Tony Nunes, our invitee, for being here with us and for talking about Carnaval, this tradition from the island of Terceira that still lives on in California with 11 groups. It's still a good amount of groups, and so those of you who are the Portuguese American community, if you'd like to go watch them, as Tony mentioned, all the different groups will be performing Friday and Saturday. So Friday, it's at a local in the South Valley, so in Tulare, at the Tulare Grand Athletic Club Hall on Bardsley Avenue, starting at 6 p.m. on Friday. The entrance is free of charge, so everyone is welcome to attend. Or at the same time, starting across town at the TDES, the Tulare Portuguese Holy Ghost Festa Hall, starting at 6 p.m. at the same time. And if you're in the Hanford, Kings County, go to Hanford St. John's Hall, and that one will start also at 6 o'clock. So all three, Hanford, two in Tulare, two halls available in Tulare, and one in Hanford, free of charge, and everyone everyone is invited to attend. So if you've never even seen one of these, or I would invite you to go. First of all, you can see one or two. There's going to be lots of them, as Tony mentioned. They're going to start at 6 o'clock, and they'll go all the way up until about 1:30 in the morning, maybe as far as 2, depends, you know, when the groups arrived. But you don't have to stay for the whole thing. You can see one or two and then just head on back home. And at the same time, you can, there'll be lots of different food there for sale, lots of bifanas, the Portuguese pork meat sandwiches, the linguiça sandwiches, I'm sure. Lots of the places have pulpo, which is Portuguese-style octopus, for those who like those delicacies. So there's all kinds of different foods that you can also try, some of the sweets that we mentioned here in the Portuguese American Hour as well. So that's for folks in the South Valley. For folks in the North Valley, there is the Portuguese Hall in Modesto is open, and a little bit south of that, closer to Fresno, by about 10 miles or so, is the Portuguese Hall. The Our Lady of the Assumption Church Hall in Turlock is also open. All of these open to the public, and lots of these will also have, of course, I mentioned some of the foods, but also some of the sweets and the traditional Portuguese donuts, the filos. So if you're around this area, if you are from the North Valley, the Merced area, Madeira, Merced area, do check out Turlock or Modesto. If you're from the South Valley, Visalia, Tulare, Hanford, Lemoore, etc., do check out the St. John's Hall in Hanford, or TDS in Tulare, or Tulare and Glens Athletic Club also in Tulare. That's Saturday and Sunday, both days, open to the public and starting at 6 o'clock. And then on Sunday, if you want to try some typical Portuguese food, do go to Tipton. Tipton is not far from Tulare. It's only about 10 miles south of Tulare. You can't miss it. Tipton's not a very big community. There's only about, I think, about 1,300 people or so. So it's the Portuguese Hall, and they're on South Evans Road. You can stop anywhere and ask, where's the Portuguese Hall? I'm sure anyone can tell you. Mm-hmm. But you can also do it. It's on, like everyone does nowadays, seems like, on your phone. Just put SPDES, that's the initials of the Portuguese Hall in Tipton, SPDES, and they have a matança, which is a killing of the pig event that actually is going to happen, it's happening all this week, and then they have a traditional dinner. It's the dinner served, or I should say lunch. It starts usually, they open up the hall and people are there starting a little bit after 11. I believe the meal is served around between 11:30 and 12. It's free of charge to everyone. You can have the marinated pork ribs, torresmos. You can have the Portuguese style beans, you can have breads, you can have linguiça morcela, the Portuguese sausage, so lots of different things, all free of charge. This is an amazing thing that they do. It's in Tipton at the SPDES Hall, and there's an opportunity to see those dances as well, because if you attend the lunch, after the lunch, as Tony mentioned, there will be different presentations starting about 1 o'clock or so, 12:30 to 1 o'clock, and so you can stick around after lunch and enjoy one of those as well. And if you didn't make it on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, the last day is Tuesday at the TDS Hall in Tipton. They start about 6, and all of the presentations will be there as well. For the four acts from Tulare will be there, and that's also open to the public. So it's a very big weekend to celebrate throughout the valley. And also, they'll be performing, as Tony mentioned, this last weekend was Artesian. So most of these other places in the Valley and in Northern California, the Bay Area, this Friday and Saturday. And here, basically, 4 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. Thank you all for being part of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Esmeralda.
Thank you.
Do not forget that we do have our anniversary lecture this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Reception at 5. Everyone is invited. Appetizers, wine, and other beverages free of charge, and a lecture about the Azores at 6 p.m. North Gym 118, Fresno State. Thank you. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. See you. Take care.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.